on the Marty Shegold Show. Here he is, Nick Riebolt.
Ah, good morning,
yes,
Nick.
Happy Friday.
The most marks in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Is that still standing, that one?
Yeah, it's still standing.
That's
it'll
a
stand
good one.
A while, I reckon, that
That's
one, Marty.
A good one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's not bad.
The most marks.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's in lieu of no flag. They're the sort of little things that you hang your hat on to be honest. quite honestly, yeah.
No,
but
no,
they're good little things. Gary Dempsey gave me the hold on, you know, well done, Nick. Have you ever spoken to Gary Dempsey?
No.
He's got the deepest voice in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. It was. Oh, I was actually intimidated when he spoke to me about breaking the record because he held it before. Yeah, he's a scary dude.
Yeah, scary
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, scary dude.
But you took a lot of marks though now that I think back over it.
Took a few.
How tall are you?
Undersized, just played big. about 6'4".
Six
but serious,
four.
About 6'4".
You so seem taller than
193-ish. Yeah, so, but now the key position players, they're all 200 plus.
Mm-hmm.
So all the key forwards, key defenders. I was standing in the race, it would have been last week, when Harry Mackay ran out, the Carlton full forward. He is enormous.
Yeah.
He's 200 plus.
Yeah.
So he makes sort of the ruckman that I played with, Michael Gardner and Stephen King, and he makes those guys look small. So
it's crazy.
A bit like John Nicholls was, you know, just a bit over 6 foot when he was a ruckman back in the day. It's
it's evolving.
It's evolving. We're growing. We're getting bigger.
It's strange, isn't it? Because you wonder what the future is for the little man in all codes.
Yeah.
Like the NRL has just become one body shape.
Yep.
At least the AFL still has.
There's still room for.
There's still a bit of shape there.
Yeah, the junior burgers have still got a little bit of a place in the game. You just got to be smart and skillful and fast and.
It's a shame the older tubby guys have drifted out.
The pluggers.
Drifted out. Because it was a bit of fun watching a tubby bloke run around, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and then how that ripples down to community level and grassroots and country teams and every team or every league's got a plugger.
Yeah. Oh, totes.
And they're the cult heroes.
Yeah.
I'd love to know how those bigger guys would go in the modern game.
Nice.
Like it'd be, we'll never know, but it would be fascinating to see how like the Jason Dunstalls and mind you, Dunstall was just a power machine, but how the Lockets and those guys would actually transfer their skills into today's game, but we'll never know.
Hey, let's talk Richmond Geelong tonight.
Yep.
Grand final rematch. It's going to be a belter.
Yeah, it'll be great. So they've got a great rivalry, these two sides, which Richmond have dominated, but some just ripper games. So the last 2 years, the two that stand out are the preliminary final in 2019 and then clearly the grand final last year. And I heard Chris Scott, the coach of Geelong, interviewed this week talking about, do you have to blow up your game plan to try and beat one side as opposed to the other 16 sides that you come up against in a year, because you've been able to take care of everyone else except Richmond. And sort of Chris Scott, he didn't bristle, but he took a moment to just absorb the question, and he answered it very diplomatically, but I think the way he would have liked to have answered the question was, well, have you actually watched the prelim and the grand final? We were beating Richmond. We had control of the game both of those times. And both times this bloke called Dustin Martin came out of nowhere and torched us in a half a footy. So he's the one they have to stop. And you just can't get beaten by watching time and time again. So I think they'll have a plan for him tonight that they haven't necessarily tried in the past, because Geelong's game plan stacks up. And we could be talking about Geelong having won the last two flags if it wasn't for the bloke that's just come back from New Zealand and he's playing tonight, Dusty.
With those game plans, how hard are they to move away from in a short space of time? How rigid are they?
Yeah.
How embedded in a player is that?
Yeah, it is difficult. It's probably more difficult philosophically when they have been so successful for you against 95% of your other combatants.
Yeah.
So because they've gotten them to a point every year where they've got a chance to actually win it, to then shift and move away from, I would think as a coach, that would be the most difficult things. Players are pretty coachable.
Mm.
They'll find a way. It might take a 6 month period, but that's what the preseason's for, and they find a way.
Nick, before we talk about other stuff, North Collingwood should be an absolute belter. I mean, this could be one of the great games. 17 plays 18.
Yeah.
And Nathan Buckley, surely to God, if North get up, that's it.
You called it.
I would have said just take his pass and walk him to the car park.
Oh, Marty.
Oh,
goodness. Well, I wouldn't want to muck up in here, guys.
Yeah,
there's a few nervous-looking people around here when you just rolled with that sort of... dictatorial attitude.
What do you think? Could North possibly beat Collingwood?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. North have been much better the last few weeks.
Had a good first half last week.
Yeah. I think for where this might sound a little bit backwards, but I think for where Collingwood are at, if they're trying to establish what the future looks like with the kids and going down the path of a rebuild, I think results are almost irrelevant for Nathan Buckley.
Would you rather be North or Collingwood?
Right now? That's a great question.
I'll take North every day of the
Would
week.
You? I think I'd rather be Collingwood because of the
wrong answer.
Because I thought this was an opinion business. So I didn't realise we dealt in absolutes. I'd rather be Collingwood because of the power of the club.
Yes.
So I think their ability to bounce a little bit quicker. Because I mean, North really they only reached the start of their rebuild probably 18 months ago. So they might be a little bit in front in terms of the collateral that they've been able to assemble with young kids. Mm. But Collingwood have that drawing power. They'll bounce, but
it's very hard to get people to North, I would have thought. Let's talk about Melbourne and Sydney as well. You had an interesting stat, Will, Melbourne and Sydney related.
Oh, yeah, Sydney have beaten Melbourne at the MCG. I'm pretty sure it was the last 10 times. It goes back a long way.
Sydney have beaten Melbourne at the MCG the last 10 times.
Oh, no.
I didn't know you were going to fact check me.
No,
live.
But I'm not fact checking you. I don't care if it's 10 or 8. That's still...
It goes a long way.
That's great.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. So next week when you bring a nugget of gold like that, Will...
Seven games.
Just drop it and be a assertive and back yourself
That's
in.
Right. Don't
be put off by
or the
by
jacket
Marty
you're wearing. Don't be put off by that.
Oh, I quite like that.
It's a great jacket.
You, yeah. What are you? Where have you?
It's from a vintage store.
You
in
might
York.
Know the store, Suzanne.
I think they just walked past that store, didn't they? On your little YouTube thing you're watching there.
Yeah, I'm watching a New York walking
No,
store.
So that's fascinating. I mean, Melbourne haven't been very good throughout that period. They had that one year where they made the prelim, but they're on top of the ladder. Melbourne are absolutely flying. They've got a few little challenges around personnel with Adam Tomlinson going down, who's been the best pure 1v1 defender in the competition so far this year. So he just hasn't been beaten. So that'll cause a little bit of a reshuffle for the D's. They got Ben Brown in last week, exposed him to some form. John Longmire this week in the Sydney coaches box.
Oh, yeah, this is interesting.
He'll be sitting solo.
Yeah, because everyone else is in lockdown.
So the assistant coaches, they get a bit of a holiday. Because, I mean...
Would they be watching the game and speakerphoning it?
I don't know. I don't know how they'll... I'd imagine they would. I'd imagine they'd have access to some sort of full ground vision to be able to then, you know, buy in and relay messages to the coach. But it'll be like a holiday for those assistant coaches. I've sat in a coach's box before.
And quarter time and three quarter time, he'll be out there on his Pat Malone. There'll be no one doing their line sort of stuff.
Yeah, I would assume it would be like that. So this is where they're going to rely really heavily on the on field leadership of some of their more experienced players, of which they've got some great leaders at that football club. But they're sneaky up and about too, the Swans.
Yes, they're always there or thereabouts. They're a phenomenal club. Yeah.
Incredible the way they've been able to maintain relevance. And the last couple of years to drop, they dropped out, bit of a rebuild, but they've popped way sooner than anyone would have expected them to.
Yeah, phenomenal stuff. Have a lovely weekend,
you
Nick.
Too.
Lovely
Happy
to
Mother's Day,
you.
Mums out there.
Oh,
enjoy.
That's lovely.